Okay, Carolyn, woohoo, we're here.
Are we
We're
really?
here.
Okay, then we're here. If you say so, I'm ready.
I say so. Welcome to Dr. Carolyn Dean Live here Mondays, always on YouTube, and then also streaming in all kinds of super fantastic bubble plastic locations, which we're going to tell you about. It's just not today. If you want to learn more about Dr. Carolyn Dean, please be sure to visit her website. Dr. Carolyn, Carolyn Dean.com. And if you see the code up here in the corner, you can click on that to visit her site and also become a member, which gives you a backstage pass to her fantasticness. And she is totally fantastic, being the doctor of the future and someone who's been teaching all of America, all the world, actually, how to use dietary supplements, natural solutions, and all kinds of health strategies to their benefit for almost 50 years. So we're so thrilled to have her tonight. Welcome, Carolyn. Are you excited?
Yes, Jenny, I'm very excited to be here. Well, who else gets a platform like this to be able to just rant and express myself and say how we've been making America healthy again for decades? So I really appreciate being here.
Absolutely, absolutely. And of course, as we open up the show every week, we have certain segments that we feature. We welcome all of our new listeners and people who are joining us for the very first time. If you're on the live chat with YouTube, feel free to say hi, speak your mind, and also share any questions you would have for Dr. Dean as we cover the topics we're going to talk about tonight. And let's get started, Carolyn. I think the first thing we're going to be talking about is your amazing health library. Is that right?
Yes, it's a good way to start out. What happened is over the years I've written dozens and dozens and dozens of books, but the way the FDA has come down on dietary supplements and dietary supplement companies is it seems like I have to take the names of my products out of my books. But glass half full, it's great because we can update the books. And the latest one is the Complete Guide to Mental Health, and it's completely timely. So yes, we have the book to talk about, a blog to talk about, and even Maha talking about mental health. So I'll let Jenny take it away.
Yes, and one of the things I wanted to ask you, Carolyn, is how did you really come to your own understanding about mental health as it relates to nutrient deficiency? What kind of clued you in?
Oy, I guess it probably started with allergies. Like in my own family, a couple of members have food allergies and it would affect their mood. So it became just kind of common sense, obvious that something like food, something like the nutrients in the food can affect your mood. So I think it was built in very early.
Wow, that's so amazing. I was in a cab yesterday with the man who pioneered some of the ELISA testing for food allergies, and he's convinced that that's the basis of a lot of autism, a compromise in the immune system. So he just talked about it, really for a very long time and very intelligently. And so here you are saying tonight that you feel like food allergies are a big part of what's going on in mental health.
Right, it's the molecules of these foods that are incompletely digested that get absorbed through a leaky gut, that they make their way into the bloodstream, and then the body looks at them as foreign chemicals and it has to attack them. And when the attack is histamines and cytokines and different molecules that then have their own side effects. People who are, kind of on the edge of not feeling well anyway, that throws them over the edge. Whereas another person, they may absorb some of these so-called allergens and not even react. So it's very individual. And I know about the ELISA testing. Actually, I did it in my office up in Canada for years.
Oh, wow.
But I realized that with a leaky gut and with yeast overgrowth, so many people just aren't digesting their foods. They're incompletely absorbed. Well, they're incompletely chewed. People don't chew their food anymore. They take a bite, swallow it down. So this incomplete breakdown, they become kind of toxic and allergenic. So I realized that how to deal with food allergies is by healing the gut, by reducing the number of yeast that grow up from the large intestine as little, they're little buds, and then they grow into their food. But if you kill off the bacteria that keep yeast under control, these yeast just start growing as little threads, and they crawl up into the small intestine. I think I probably say this every week. And they irritate the small intestine, poke holes, and there's your leaky gut.
Wow.
And the people that are looking at leaky gut now don't seem to even consider that yeast is a factor. So you know, what I've always done is let's get to the ground. Let's get to the base of why these things are happening. Right. Don't just say, was it Alzheimer's last week we talked about?
Yes.
This protein is high in Alzheimer's. Let's just get it, get rid of it. Let's just bang away at it. Whereas they're not even looking at the dozen or so environmental concerns that make the body and the brain inflamed and toxic and then cause this protein buildup. So we're always looking at the bottom line cause. And basically the bottom line cause in the body is the cells aren't healthy.
Okay.
What I've done with the formula, you know, just a handful of formulas is give the cells building blocks that makes them healthy. You need your omega-3 and your vitamin D to make a healthy cell membrane. You need your vitamin C then to make collagen to support the cells. You need your magnesium to deal with 80% of known metabolic functions. So it's very basic, but it's none of those basics were taught in medical school. So that's where doctors with their blinders to nutrients and food and, you know, exercise, lifestyle, smiling, they're blinded and just being told more and more that it's all about the drugs or the surgery. You know, wait until your patient is sick enough to need drugs or go in hospital. Otherwise, just, you know, send them home.
Right.
Happens.
Right. Now, let me ask you a couple things. As far as yeast overgrowth is concerned, is it something that can present with intermittent symptoms? For example, like if you only have loose stools every once in a while, or, you know, do you just have to have these chronic things happening, or can they just be intermediate?
Yeah, they can be intermittent. And it's because several things drive everything.
Okay.
Several things drive everything. So, I mean, that's another bias and problem with allopathic medicine. They just want to make it about one thing. You know, you're talking about symptoms of IBS, where it comes to yeast overgrowth, irritable bowel syndrome. And they meaning allopathic medicine, does not look at yeast overgrowth. And I think that's a big cause of IBS. And say if you have yeast IBS and you say, well, I'm just going to go off sugar, wheat, and dairy for a couple of weeks and see what happens. Well, things often clear up because you're starving the yeast. And then you go to a party and you have some cake and some wine and whatever. Next morning, you're back with your IBS symptoms. So, and a person not really even knowing what they're doing when they withdraw food, and then when they reintroduce a food, it becomes this intermittent cyclical set of symptoms that when they take those symptoms to their doctor, and the doctor really can't place it in a little bucket of disease diagnosis, they'll often just say, oh, you're stressed, you're anxious, you know, take an antidepressant or an anxiolytic drug.
Ah, very good. Okay. Now also on yeast overgrowth, let me ask you this. When it comes to food sensitivities, we have somebody on the chat who's saying, I have a lot of food sensitivities and I'm working on it now. What do you think is probably the most important elimination? Like you talk about wheat and dairy and sugar, which one do you think would give you the biggest bang for your buck in terms of understanding your own body and your own sensitivities?
Probably sugar.
Okay. Yeah.
What sugar is going to do is it's not only going to feed yeast, but get this, Jenny, sugar is going to compete with vitamin C to get into the cells.
Okay.
So when you're on a high sugar diet, you know, you can even be called pre-diabetic or whatever. And people don't even realize that you are bumping the vitamin C away from being absorbed into the cells, and you aren't allowing vitamin C to work as a cofactor in making collagen.
Okay.
So then you're getting, you know, pre-diabetic, diabetic, you're getting bruising, you're getting bleeding, your gums are bleeding, all signs of vitamin C deficiency, scurvy. So when sugar does so many negative things, not sugar itself, but it's pushing away vitamin C. I mean, you don't hear people talking about it. But see, it's this incredible interaction of everything, and it's fascinating.
Wow. And
it explains so much.
Right. So I'm just getting it. So you could be taking enough vitamin C, like you could be taking 2,000 or 3,000 milligrams a day. Yeah. And if you're eating a lot of sugar, it's going to cancel it out. Is that kind of what you're saying?
That's kind of what I'm saying.
Wow. Yeah. So then you could still have vitamin C deficiency symptoms.
Yeah.
Even though you're taking plenty, because sugar is competing with vitamin C, and vitamin C is so important for fascia, collagen, your brain. I mean, wow, that's really interesting. Wow.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot more there, but I mean, we'll get to it in, you know, in future shows.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's pretty important. So yeah, I'd stop the sugar. Wheat is the next thing, you know, wheat belly. There's a book called Wheat Belly. Yeah. If you go to Europe and eat wheat, usually you don't react. So they've been doing something to wheat over here that makes it higher in gluten, because gluten is the nice sticky stuff that I guess makes bread rise or something.
Right.
But I don't do so well with bread in America. So it's sugar, wheat, and then there's dairy. And the thing is that dairy is a milk sugar, lactose. Sugar is a sucrose. Wheat will break down so quickly into sugar. Like you put a piece of bread in your mouth and chew it for a couple of minutes, it turns sweet. And that's the glucose atoms, glucose molecules attaching together to make bread.
Wow, great. Now, somebody, final thing on the gut, and then we're going to move on. But Michelle's saying that she ate large amounts of Splenda in the early 2000s, and it destroyed her gut. And she's trying to heal, and she still reacts to many foods. And yeast is a reoccurring beast. Any ideas for her real quick?
Well, the formula that we use for yeast, I don't know if she's tried it. I'd say that and silver. But the thing of it is, your gut cells turn over every few days.
Right.
So there's got to be something sort of in your mind where you say, my gut is healing, I'm giving it the building blocks, so that you don't allow the past to, you know, come in on you. I mean, I know that sounds a little too airy-fairy, but it's very true. Look at our society, how, you know, at a certain age, people think, well, you know, I guess I'm going to die soon, and I'm going to end up in the hospital with tubes running out of every orifice. Right. We put that image on ourselves. So, you know, there's this image, you know, my gut is ruined for life. No, your gut wants to be healthy, give it the building blocks. It could be the vitamin C we're talking about. What makes, you know, the gut lining? There's a lot of vitamin C involved. I mean, looking at the Linus Pauling protocol, he really meant for us to be taking 10 grams of vitamin C.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. So I would say, yeah, the vitamin C and looking at our yeast formula.
Okay. Very good. Thank you. And if you want to find those, you can look drcarolindean.com up on the right-hand corner. You'll see shop and just run right over to RNA Reset and you can figure it all out. Okay, Carolyn, wrapping up our mental health topic, we're going to talk about this week's blog just briefly. And this week's blog is about exercise for mental health. What would you like to say?
Well, it's just so important. I mean, seriously, if I don't get out there and do my walk and some yoga and maybe a bit of a swim, I just don't feel as good. You don't sleep as well at night. You know, your joints feel tight. You have to loosen them up. So movement is so important on so many levels. I don't know if it's in this week's topics, but exercise is just as important as, you know, certain medications for mental health, for the heart. It's just so important. And I guess we got into this sort of fetish about going to the club and exercising. And then when the, you know, oh, I can't afford the membership, I don't have the time. Seriously, just walk outside. Just put on your sneakers and go for a walk. I mean, that's all you have to do. When I walk with a 3-pound weight. And, you know, keep my arm muscles from going flabby. Just get out and move. And while you're moving, as I've said many times, you're passing people, give them a smile and expect to smile back. And if they don't smile you back, you just smile you back. You just say, oh, I feel so sorry for that person. They don't know how to smile.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Very good. Very good. Okay. I want to remind people a couple things. If you're interested in getting information about the products or how to use them, for sure, you can talk with our customer support team. They're absolutely fantastic. You can talk with them one-on-one, 888-577-3703. You'll see the number here on the screen. Feel free to hit them up and ask those questions that you need support with and learn a little bit more about how you can use them to your benefit. Also, just know that we're here every Monday night live, 7 p.m. Make sure you're subscribed to our YouTube channel so you can get your notifications. And also, don't hesitate to bring a friend. And you can share while we're live, especially if we're talking about something you think is really interesting. Share it with your friends. Share it on your social media. Shoot it out in a text to somebody that you'd like to join you here. We're building a community of like-minded people who want to know natural strategies for their health to prevent them from ending up in hospital, as Carolyn always says. And she's got all the answers. So we're happy you're here tonight. This week, Carolyn, we're going to talk about some fun things too. And you've got a lot of topics that you'd like to share with everybody. Where would you like to start? I think we're going to start with, we're going to continue with Make America Healthy Again. What am I talking about? That's always so much fun. Make America Healthy Again. I'm going to be sad when this is kind of, I don't think it'll ever be over, but as far as an ongoing topic.
We'll just start from number one again.
There you go.
They're all so important. We've got 14 lined up and we're on number 5, and it just happens to be mental health and stress management support. So obviously in our complete guide to mental health, I'm talking about all the nutrient deficiencies, magnesium, B complex, vitamin D, omega-3 fatty acids. They all work together. And, you know, Ginny, I was doing some reading and omega-3 fatty acids don't work if you are deficient in vitamin B complex. Seriously.
Really?
So, yeah, I'll talk about it more next week, but
wow.
It's the way everything is turning out. I don't think there's been enough focused research on the interaction of nutrients. We know that vitamin D needs magnesium in order to activate it.
Right.
So we know that for a fact. And now, omega-3 needs the B complex in order to be activated. So wow. They will do these, massive, million-dollar studies on nutrients, just try to isolate the omega-3s and see, is it working? And they have no clue what the B vitamin status is in the participants.
Wow. So
it makes nutrient research just so goofy. I know it's a clown show.
Yeah.
It is a clown show. We know that. We're right in the middle of nutrient research, university research. So that's why our protocol is you got to take the whole picture. You got to take your magnesium, your picometer, magnesium picometer multiple. You got to take your vitamin C's. You got to take your omega-3. We use an algae. You got to take your vitamin D with your K2. And in the omegas, we have A and E. And then there's, our silver for infection, our zinc for more immune system. But it's very basic. And I'll say this every week as well. People who don't get those basics and don't get to make their perfect cells, the symptoms that they have from the deficiency of these nutrients, they go off and get drugs or maybe a dozen other herbs and high dose vitamins, which are mostly synthetic anyway. So, we've really got the answer that people are looking for. So with mental health, I also talk about total biology and German New Medicine. So you can go to Danny Carroll's website, Danny-Carroll, C-A-R-R-O-L-L, for a huge free book on it. It'll come to you as a PDF to learn about the conflict basis of disease. If you have a buried conflict, it will be translated by your body into a disease state because the body's trying to fix the conflict. It's a bit too much to talk about right here. I think I have had some podcasts on it, but I also want to mention the tendency for these self-help guidebooks to encourage people to forgive whatever and whoever may have caused or be causing your stress. It's like you're in the middle of the stress. Oh, you have to forgive that person. It's like, no, that's not going to happen. And what I think it can be very difficult, of course, to do that right off the bat. You have to build up to it. But I like people to think about reframing the situation.
Okay.
By trying to find anything positive about the experience you're in, the person, the situation, whatever. You know how we'll often say, or people will say, that horrible accident was the best thing that ever happened to me. Now they'll say that down the road, but what if you start saying it in the midst of it? What if you start saying there's some little positive thing here? Oh, like in the emergency medicine, we learned to say to accident victim, the worst is over. The worst is over. Things are going to get better. So in a negative conflicting experience, did it make you grow? Did it make you leave wherever you were? Did it force you to make a change? Did it force you to work harder or fight back? All these things can be positive. So if you reframe yourself from always sort of going round and round and round about how bad things are or were, let's just say, oh my gosh, if I hadn't had that experience, I wouldn't have whatever grown or whatever happens. If any bit of your experience is positive and can be appreciated, that can be a real step forward to leaving the negative experience behind. It's like, in a sense, you can't be thinking all these negative things and have a positive thing happening. I think the positive thing trumps the negative thing.
Very good. Yeah. Yeah. Excellent. Now, you know, we have something that we talk about all the time. Before we move on, we've got a good question here, Carolyn, and I'm just going to put you on the spot and ask you to answer it, because we know also in mental health, what's really important is the neuron and the mental health function. And one of our new listeners is saying, I'm new to all this. So maybe this is too basic a question, but why use your Pico Magnesium versus all the other forms? I've heard so much about the other forms that are supposed to be just as good. So, Carolyn, what do you have to say to PC?
Yeah, I mean, it's a great question. I love the question because it's my experience. When I learned I had severe magnesium deficiency, tight shoulders, headaches, insomnia, twitching, all of it, but I still was high functioning. And when I decided to take more magnesium, I got the laxative effect. So I found a chemist, it took me 10 years, that would make a non-laxative magnesium. Turns out it's a stabilized ion of magnesium that doesn't bind right back up. It stays as an ion in the bloodstream. We've got university studies that prove that. And it's that size of a magnesium ion that gets into the cells.
Yes. Through
a picometer-sized mineral ion channel. So when you look at all the advertising on the magnesium compounds, that, oh, this one's better than that one, no such thing. The body, if it's looking for magnesium, just wants that magnesium ion.
Correct.
What the compounds have to do in the liquid bloodstream, they disassociate into the magnesium part or the citrate, chloride, lactate, whatever, glycine part. You don't need those parts. I mean, they may be helpful in some sort of general symptoms, but if you're magnesium deficient with the heart palpitations and the headaches, the migraines, the leg cramps, the Charlie horse leg cramps you get at night, you want magnesium and as much as you can get before it becomes laxative, because that's what most of the magnesiums do. To get to the point where you take enough magnesium to manipulate or process 80% of known metabolic functions, usually most magnesiums become laxative. So yep. Picometer size, boom, right into the cells, sip it through the day because it's a liquid, because that's another thing. If if I took this whole shot, and maybe it would cause a bit of a laxative effect, but I just sip it through the day.
Yeah.
So I hope that answers the question, PC.
Yes, and also I just want to say, Carolyn, we were on a call earlier today, and we found out that 25% increase in ionized magnesium in tissues and organs based on a clinical study we're doing right now in a very short window of timing. You can't get 25% uptake in magnesium with a pill or a powder. It just isn't bioavailable for the body that way. So
right.
You think about the amount of money you spend and the value you don't get. And that makes Remag just such a home run also. Don't you think, Carolyn?
Yes, that's right. And it is sort of a biochemical, it's a bit much to understand, but if the cells need magnesium ions, and magnesium is very reactive, so it's always going to bind up wherever it is. At any one instant, like when you take that blood test, yeah, there's going to be some magnesium ions, and they're going to jump into the cells, but a fraction of a second later, all the other magnesium ions are going to bind up, except our picometer magnesium doesn't bind up. It's stable. We have shot lasers through it in the lab, and it has no solid substance because it is smaller than the visual.
Yeah.
Smaller than the naked eye can see.
Right.
So yeah, it's a revolution. It's never been found before. We just don't have the $10 million budget to do a, or maybe it's $100 million now to do a trial, and then another $10 million to do the marketing to talk about this. Oh, and we've all already been attacked in a way by the FDA, who doesn't want this type of information out there because they don't.
They have their reasons.
Yeah.
But we have our reasons. We keep slugging away at it. And that's why we rely on all our wonderful people here to help, like PC, who's getting in the fight, sharing the information and letting people know there are great solutions out there. And they're also very affordable. And you don't have to get caught up. Stick with the science. Stick with the scientists. Right, Carolyn?
Right. Yeah. Science has been bought off. Bought and paid for. And that's the next book we're putting out is Death by Modern Medicine. I wrote that in 2005, outlined everything that the Maha people are talking about now. So I guess they're catching up.
Yes, that's exactly right. That's exactly right. So let's go on to some of your favorite topics tonight, Carolyn. I know we've got a lot of things that you like to curate medical information for us and share it with the consumer, break it down. This is Backstage Pastime with Carolyn. It's not a lot of information you're going to read necessarily on your feeds. It comes from Medscape and other more medical sources. And yet Carolyn likes to bring it into the show and let people know what's been going on and also kind of what's been plotted behind the scenes for consumers who may not be as savvy. So we welcome you to sit back and let Carolyn share some of the things. What's on your mind tonight, Carolyn?
Well, you know what we have to do first, though, is customer questions and comments.
You've got some customer questions and comments. Okay, very good.
I do. So, and you know about this one, Ginny. This is a testimonial from a dear friend of Ginny's who says, my 30-year-old daughter's having her first child. When she went to the doctor, her placenta was growing low in the uterus, which would have caused complications during birth and necessitated a C-section. The doctor said it had to move up at least 2 centimeters away from the opening, but they had no instructions on how to make that happen. They gave her an impossible task. Now, that's a conflict right there.
Yeah, very true.
Going on, my daughter was crushed, as her dream has always been to have vaginal birth for her children. I told my best friend, Ginny, about what was going on, and she told me that using magnesium would help strengthen the placenta and cause it to tighten up, giving her the best chance for a normal vaginal birth. So my daughter agreed to start your liquid magnesium daily, but the taste, now this is interesting. The taste was very unpleasant for her. In college, she learned a trick called a pickleback. And that's when you put a shot of liquor into a shot glass of pickle juice and toss it back. It kills the taste. So she decided to make a magnesium pickleback and it did the trick. So she loves doing it. She went to the doctor on Wednesday. Her placenta had actually moved up 3 centimeters.
Yeah.
And the doctors were stunned. They told her that they were confident she would be able to have a vaginal birth.
Yeah.
Boom. Now, midwives have been saying forever that pregnant women need to take their magnesium. It's absolutely required. It actually prevents preeclampsia and eclampsia, and those are conditions. I mean, blood pressure elevation, and actually, high blood pressure is the only FDA claim that you can make, health claim, is that magnesium helps reduce blood pressure. So it works on blood pressure, it works on the fluid retention, and on seizures. And women who take enough magnesium won't have those pregnancy symptoms. So
gestational diabetes?
I mean, magnesium is important for about 8 steps in sort of the insulin and what it does to receptor sites in the cell. So magnesium can really help balance blood sugar.
Okay, very good, very good.
So there's Sarah sent an Amazon review, and someone is saying, this is one supplement that really works for me. This has had unexpected benefits. I've been taking magnesium supplements for years and assumed they would be doing something good for me at the cellular level, as I was not experiencing any noticeable effects. However, I've been taking Dr. Dean's magnesium for about 4 months, and the effects on my well-being are amazing. Her magnesium and picometer size gets into the cells. So again, she said, I've tried multiple supplements of many kinds over the years, and they did nothing for me. And she said, in terms of mental health, she said, my mood is amazing. My energy levels are really good. My sleep is improving. I feel awake, and my aging brain is working well.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. She said, and now this is cute, Jenny. She says, I'm past the placebo window and continue to experience good effects from this magnesium, Dr. Dean's magnesium.
Very good. Yeah. I like that placebo window.
Yeah. And then a call today, I haven't read this yet. Someone is, WG is saying, I appreciate you guys immensely. There's nobody else exactly like you or even comparable. You work at a place that makes a difference for people. No. You're on the right track. Not everybody is aware enough to recognize what you do, but I do. So thank you very much, the whole team.
Oh, that's great. That's great. Yeah, we have a great customer service team. For sure, reach out to them and get to know them. If you haven't had a chance to talk to them yet, they're fantastic. Amazing, amazing people.
Right. So if you don't have any questions, I'll go to the antiviral article that I want to talk about. Okay.
I think we're good. I've been kind of throwing them at you as we've gone along. So I think we're good. Yeah, let's do it.
So as Ginny said, I get a lot of this from Medscape and MedPage today. This is Medscape, January 24th, 2025. So they're saying most antivirals don't work. Mm. The antivirals recommended by the CDC for treating influenza showed little benefit for non-severe cases in a literature review and meta-analysis published in JAMA, Internal Medicine. Now, we've known this for decades, that there aren't any effective antiviral drugs. I mean, I was doing AIDS research in New York in the early 90s. They didn't have an antiviral. I mean, they started pushing AZT and had so many side effects. They don't have good antiviral drugs. And it shows in this analysis, Ginny, they looked through 73 randomized controlled trials. And they were published between 1971 and 2023. So that's 50 years. So they'd only done 73 trials.
Wow.
Consisting of 34,000 participants. They looked at Tamiflu, Relenza, that had no effect on mortality, hospitalization rates, or symptom duration. Rapivab had little to no impact on mortality or symptom duration. One drug showed some promise. Xofluza reduced symptom duration by 1 day compared with standard care or placebo. So let's just put that into perspective. These trials cost millions, up to $1 billion. Right. And then they promote a drug that gives you 1 day of relief.
Wow.
So when I was in private practice in Toronto, when a flu bug came along, I'd repertorize the symptoms and make remedies, homeopathic remedies for my patients. And I'd recommend fasting on chicken soup, high dose vitamin C. Now I recommend silver and zinc with copper. But the zinc part, we always have to say, you have to take that with your soup because it's hard on the stomach, causes a bit of nausea, straight zinc. So there are so many ways to treat colds and flus and not have to depend on medication at all that doesn't even work. So this study, I always look to see, well, why, what's going on? What's this study pushing something that we know hasn't worked for 50 years? And it comes on the heels of a proposed ban on over-the-counter cold and flu drugs that contain the decongestant phenylephrine, which was originally approved by the FDA in 1976. But it turns out it doesn't do anything for congestion when taken orally. So they're desperate to find a drug for cold and flus. And about this phenylephrine, I was addicted to Drizdan nasal spray when I was in high school. I looked it up and it's still on sale. It contains an antihistamine and phenylephrine. And apparently the phenylephrine is going to go away. So people are going to start taking more vitamin C, I can tell you that. So with me, it wasn't until, you know, I started giving up sugar, wheat, and dairy. I had yeast overgrowth from antibiotics and, you know, high sugar diet. But it wasn't until I developed my natural antifungal protocol with Saccharomyces boulardii and a probiotic, and I began inhaling silver, that I have complete relief of my mucus. So antivirals don't work. So people have to, you know, line it up in your, in the kitchen or in your bathroom cabinet, your silver, your vitamin C, your zinc with copper, so that you have something there to take when symptoms are going around or when you're exposed or when you fly. I mean, Ginny, I haven't done it yet because I haven't flown much, but Ginny and Greg take their little handheld nebulizer and use that on the plane with picometer type silver.
You bet you. Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Swear by it, because that plane is a mess. Yeah. There's a lot going on these planes lately, y'all. So yeah. Yes, absolutely. It is it's off label use, so we don't really promote it too much, but it can help. It can help.
What can help? Sorry.
Pico silver, the way we were talking about.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Junk food update. Let's go to that article again. It's MedPage Today, January 20th this year. So junk food turns public villain as power shifts in Washington. So what are they getting at here? The byline is the new Trump administration could be coming for your snacks, which I think is a stupid joke. It kind of falls flat. They're not coming for your snacks. They're coming to make you healthier. Right. So the snacks don't kill you and make you overweight. So I'll just condense it. What do they think they can do? They're talking about putting warning labels on the snacks, and that's just not going to make a difference.
Oh, wow.
And then for some reason they were talking about changes to farm subsidies. So what crops are being subsidized right now? It's mostly corn, soybeans, wheat, cotton, and rice. And they're the corn, soy, cotton, and now wheat are GMO crops.
Right.
So they want to subsidize, I don't know.
Right.
Anyway, wheat has just been approved as a GMO crop. Other crops are subsidized to a lesser degree. How much goes into subsidies? Apparently, in 2004, it was $2.1 billion plus another $10 billion in one-time economic payments, which sounds kind of sketchy to me.
Wow.
I looked around. Are there subsidies for organic farmers? Because I have an organic farm here, and we can't get it. Penny from anybody.
Right.
So here's what I found. For farms in transition to have certified organic grain and feed crops, they can receive $5 per insured acre, which sounds like nothing, except it's for farmers who have 10,000 or more acres.
Oh, okay. Right.
Yeah. So the whole thing is rigged. So maybe they'll get to us small organic farmers at some point. And just to finish up the article, and they say it's likely to be a pitched battle because the food industry wields an immense political influence. Yeah, they're lobbyists and has successfully thwarted previous efforts to regulate its products.
Yeah.
Food processing and food sales companies had a total of 26.7 million in lobbying in 2024.
Oh my gosh, that's ridiculous.
1 year.
Wow.
And in 1998, it was 10 million for lobbying, so almost triple. And when I was with a group of health freedom fighters visiting Congress in 2005, we were told over and over that politicians were receiving too much money from Big Pharma and Big Agra to support any attempt at alternative or nutritional medicine. So again, I don't hold up much hope for change. I don't know what's going to happen with JFK Jr., because I mean, they're attacking him tooth and nail, because I it's got to be the people who are being funded by Big Pharma that are fighting him so hard. But he's pledged to remove processed foods from school lunches, restrict certain food additives such as dyes and cereals, shift federal agricultural subsidies away from commodity crops that are used in ultra-processed foods like the corn and soy. So the Senate Committee on Health, Education, and Labor and Pensions held a September 2024 hearing examining links between ultra-processed foods and chronic disease. And during that meeting, the FDA Commissioner, Robert Califf, MD, called for more
more studies.
Yeah.
Wow.
They cannot look at the 72% obesity overweight percentage in America and get their answer. They have to have more funding. Wow. It's going to take a while.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. So here's the last interesting point. The big food knowingly manufactures and sells addictive and harmful products resembles the claims levied against big tobacco before 1998 landmark settlement, where they had to pay out $206 billion. I don't know who got that money. But the tobacco companies now own some of the biggest brands in the food industry. And they went from making cigarettes addictive to making junk food addictive.
Yes, they did.
Yeah. Yes, so we need food for energy, to feel good, well, to get our nutrients. I mean, that's why I'm promoting my basic nutrients so much, because we're not getting the nutrients we need from our food. So we're trying to get energy and we want to feel good with the food. So big food has hijacked what we eat and drink by loading it with sugar, the wrong kinds of fats, and caffeine. But we know, I mean, Ginny and I, our whole company knows that when you get the right nutrients, you are no longer addicted to junk food or even coffee or cigarettes. And we did a survey years ago that showed just that. So there.
Yeah. So there. I think this is really great that it's coming to the public mind, you know, that more people are hearing about it and they're having to consider it. And they're also hearing about it for their children. So that, I hope, is going to force, if it doesn't force the government to do anything, people are now going to be empowered. And speaking of that, where the next topic is about health freedom, Carolyn, and the health freedom movement.
Yeah.
And I know you've been involved with that for a long time. And you have, you know, just been advocating forever that people should have the right to choose. And they should have exactly what they need for their own health freedom. So let's talk about that for a minute.
Right. I think the slide shows, you know, people protesting, whatever. So this is the allopathic medical community quavering at the threat of disinformation about drugs and disease and things that they jab into your skin So yeah, it's not, I mean, it's so crazy that the blinders on in the medical and let's say nursing community as well, where they think that anyone that is questioning,
yes,
even just questioning,
yes,
drugs, jabs, etc. The
yes.
thing about jabs and even drugs is they're not studied properly. So they're saying follow the science, but it's not done properly. And in terms of the health freedom movement, I left it back in 2005 or six when I suspected we were being infiltrated. And, you know, the lobbying was so intense. And when I was in Europe at Codex Alimentaire's meetings, I saw that they just wanted to suppress dietary supplements. And I hadn't started my company at that time, but what I learned then, I was able to incorporate into my current company because they were after high dose vitamins and minerals. And we're not using high dose. We're using food-based, natural, low dose, but picometer minerals so that when push comes to shove and Big Pharma owns all the supplement companies that are high dose because it should be on prescription because it's high dose, we're not going to be affected. We're safe.
Well, I think the thing of the idea that medical freedom is going to affect public health is so absurd because when they're talking about public health, a lot of what they're talking about is Medicare, Medicaid, you know, government funded programming where they're in control of what people are going to receive. And people who are in those circumstances don't have any power to fight back. They have to go by the medical model because they don't have any financial resource to be able to go out and step outside of what they're suggesting. They have to accept whatever drug they're giving them, or whatever kind of thing they're recommending because they just don't have the financial bandwidth to actually operate independently. So it's really kind of ridiculous what they're suggesting because these people are a lot of prisoners of their economic circumstances. I saw that in ministry.
Right.
They just can't operate outside of that.
Right. Well, you know, RFK Jr. is able to help the school lunch program and get the processed food lower. I can point you to all kinds of studies. I don't know if it's in my files here for the show, but Alexander Schaus, a PhD, and Stephen Schoenthaler back in the 80s were doing studies in juvenile detention facilities. Schoenthaler studied 1 million children in the New York school system and found that their IQ improved, their learning improved, et cetera, when sugar and junk food and dyes and preservatives were taken out of the school lunch program.
Yeah.
And nobody followed that through.
Yeah. I mean, the most liberating thing in the whole wide world, I'd be happy if they just did the school lunch program.
Mm-hmm.
You know, exactly. Because that affects so many children,
yeah.
And it's so important to our future. The kids' brains actually operate. Yeah.
Okay, let's look at the thyroid, shall we?
Yes.
Now, this is from Mercola, Joseph Mercola's site. He puts out a big clickbait article every day. So I'm always interested, but this one was about how excess iodine is undermining thyroid health and what to do about it.
Okay.
So they're talking about back in the 20s, 1920s, iodine was put into salt. You all know about Morton's iodized salt. So they were finding people had goiter from lack of iodine. It's people who, you know, maybe they grew up on the ocean. Most communities grow up on the ocean. So your mother grows up in the ocean. She's getting a lot of iodine from seafood and kelp or whatever. And then you move inland and you're not exposed to as much iodine, so your thyroid suffers. You know, that's sort of the reason that these goiters started. Goiter is a thickening and enlargement of the thyroid gland that sits there, kind of looking for iodine. So they're saying that now that there's too much iodine and it's in, you know, a lot of the personal care products, etc. So they go on and on about this. You have to reduce your iodine exposure. So it's another thing to be scared of. And so my common sense jumping to what's really going on is they haven't calculated the need for the other 8 minerals that work with iodine to make thyroid hormones.
There you go.
So taking the higher amounts of iodine immediately used up all, you know, whatever 8 minerals people happen to have in their body, and they weren't being replaced. So then everything kind of slowed down and created this quote thyroid disease or the hypothyroidism. So this is what we've discovered with our, you know, picometer minerals. When I wanted to make a multiple mineral, 9 of the 12 minerals in this multiple mineral support thyroid hormone production, not just about the iodine. So I guess basically it's just to say there's more to thyroid than this. Oh, now I have to be worried about iodine. And you may remember, I don't know if it was 8 or so years ago, there was a whole slurry of books on high dose iodine.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, you have to, you know, nobody has enough iodine. In Japan, they're taking grams and grams of iodine, and it was all around breast cancer. So they were saying, well, the iodine is treating breast cancer. Let's give people high dose iodine to prevent breast cancer. But they ended up harming the thyroid because, as I'm saying, in order to make all the thyroid hormones, you need all the minerals. And they just wasted all the minerals. They depleted the minerals by giving you too much iodine, and all the minerals went and got used up too quickly, and then the hormones suffered. And then everybody's on what, thyroid hormone replacement. And whether it's natural or synthetic, it's still hormone replacement when you should be making your own.
Correct. Absolutely. With the minerals that we have in our multi-mineral formula. Very good.
Right.
And we've just got a few minutes to the top of the hour, Carolyn. I know. Ridiculous. What else would you want to do? You want to do another topic, or how do you feel about everything?
I don't know. I think I've got too many words on that one. I've got too many words on that one. Oh, here, let's end with this. We love this one. Okay. It's about glucagon-like peptides. That's our Ozempic and Mounjaro.
Yes.
So I was invited to a virtual seminar, you know, Medscape MedPage Today, they'll send out the attend a virtual seminar so you can go through the GLP for complex cases, unleashing breakthrough therapies for heart disease, endocrine, and whatever else. Then I realized I better define glucagon. Glucagon is a hormone that your pancreas makes to help regulate your blood sugar levels. It increases your blood sugar levels and prevents it from dropping too low. So these glucagon-like peptides, I guess one of the ways they work, and we've talked about many of the ways, they keep your blood sugar up. So I guess you don't feel like eating because you've got enough blood sugar. I don't know if that's exactly how it works, but they aim for this hormone and disrupt it in order to unleash breakthrough therapies. So they're talking about groundbreaking research and practical strategies for managing complex cases. and evidence-based steps to elevate patient care. I just don't know when they're going to quit.
That's right. When are they going to quit monkeying around with the human body? Yeah. Yeah, right.
And, you know, the side effects keep coming out. You know, maybe it's when they all get sued by the people who have the side effects. But they're making money hand over fist.
Yes. Yes. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And what is the alternative is to just be moderate in your intake and also to not drive your pancreas with sugar, you know, and you've called it liver snacking for years, Carolyn, where you just don't, you know, intermittent fasting, whatever you want to call it. It just keeps the body from driving the sugar metabolism and producing more insulin, which produces more obesity.
Right. And getting the nutrients, because people will keep eating junk food, bad food, anything that they can get, because their body is sorting through this food to try to get the nutrients to drive the cellular processes.
Right. Absolutely.
And it begins with REMAG. Sorry, I shouldn't have. It begins with magnesium.
Picometer stabilized ions of magnesium in a blue bottle. Oh, goodness. We're going to get it right one of these days. Well, we have so much enthusiasm, right? I mean, we love what we're doing. And we're doing the best thing with one of the best products in the world. So. Yeah.
Now, do you remember when that survey was, Ginny, when we asked people, you know, how are you doing? And we came up with drinking less coffee, eating less snacks, not having to go to chiropractors or massage, all the things that were assisting their body. How long ago was that?
That was 2017 when we launched the Total Body Reset, which is one of our bundles. And Chad did a survey for us and said, what's the outcome of people making a commitment to using our that system of daily supplementation month over month for a committed period of time. And the results were fantastic. They were eating less. And as you said, so many different things, not as much massage, not as much chiropractic, because their bodies were being well nourished and they had the things that they needed. Yeah, that was a great survey.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll have to do another one. But yeah, it's basically giving your body just the structure that it needs in you know, at the cellular level so that you can stay healthy.
That's right. And look, like Dr. Carolyn Dean, who's got a birthday coming up and she looks fantastic. She feels fantastic. What did you say? 30? You're going to turn 31 this year, I guess, Carolyn.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
31.
Yeah. 76 is the new 36.
Oh my gosh. Well, girl, I'll tell you what, you are fantastic. 76. I can't wait to get where you're at. If I ever get there. Right. All right, you guys, it's been a great show. Thank you for being with us. We're going to be back Monday night. Share, like, you know what to do. Let's keep the vibe alive and bring a friend next week to Dr. Carolyn Dean's live podcast.
Aloha.
Aloha.